Yeah. All right, Rabosei. We have the opportunity this close to hear from Rabbi Shmuel Phillips, who is the Mechaber of two Svarim that are going to be available after he speaks. I personally have been through the first Sefer, Judaism Reclaimed, and enjoyed it very much. And I'm on my way through the second Sefer now, as you know.
Yeah.
just arguing on the Rambam a little bit. So, the truth is, whenever you come across somebody who is clearly intelligent and creative, but is meshubad to the Masorah, and as Yir HaShemayim, as is clear from the Askamas that you got from your Rebbeim, it's always very exciting for me to see what they bring. And the Svarim are actually very exciting. He goes through different ideas, some that are actually dangerous, very dangerous, I would say, ideas. And so this is a little bit risky, inviting you coming to speak on some dangerous ideas, some of which are just some highlights of things that I looked through and picked out. Hashem, does he have physical form, which is something that people talk about? Can you paskin in Yonei Hashkafa and Deos? Is there such a thing like halacha? Like in Tefillin, we also have such that idea when it comes to Inyanei Amunah. This is less shaykh to the tzibur here, I assume, but Bible criticism, which for some people are very problematic once you start looking into what they're saying and how our Masorah feels about their issues. Derabanans, how they relate to the goal of halacha and the deraisas as given in the Torah Shebichtav and the Amalachas, we have Mamosha. Gender roles, a bit more of the timely things, Torah and science. And then certain fundamentals, Schus Avos, Hashgacha, Tchias Amesim, Gehenim, what these things are, how they work. So you see, fundamentals, which hence the danger of inviting you to come and speak on some of these things. But
come on.
But the truth is that I learned from my Rebbe that it's very important for a Jew, for a Ben Torah, that whenever he learns anything or reads anything, that you have a very clear divide in your mind between things that you've read, that you've heard, and things that you know. And you have to be careful when you take things from one side of your mind, of things that I read, that I heard, that whatever, and change it and put it over into the other part of your brain of things that I know, things that are true. And it takes training to create that divide and training to know when to put things from one to the other, and maybe there's a gray area, maybe not. These things take training. So why did I invite Rabbi Phillips to come speak if I feel that there's a danger here? So the truth is, because when I went through a Sefer, I saw somebody that, like I said to begin with, that has Yir HaShemayim, that is Meshubat to the Mesorah and the Gedolei Achronim. A lot of what I saw was the Meshech Chachma, Maratz Chius, Rav Hirsch, the Netziv, people that according to us are the part of the Shalshalas HaKabbalah, of the proper way to approach the Torah. I also saw him ripped to shreds, a bunch of the more modern people who want to say things that undermine our Mesorah and our Kabbalah, that want to take the Chazal and the rabbis and say that the way that they produced halacha and their deos were mainly off of their own particular feelings about certain morals, and you have people that cherry pick and misrepresent and leave out, and maybe by mistake, but it seems on purpose, to misrepresent what the Torah says for their own nefarious purposes. And I've seen you very nicely, in a very English way, destroy them. So I felt comfortable, yes, inviting, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say. It's ours close. So please.
Thank you so much. We have four sheets over here.
Sorry, I didn't print out enough. I gave a shift somewhere else yesterday, and I think I must have left them there. So the last minute, I just printed out a few more, but I might have to share them. Thank you very much for that introduction. I'll try not to be too dangerous today. The thing, I've walked past this yeshiva so many times. I walk here Shabbos afternoon to the castle most weeks, and so looking in, and should I pop in, should I pop by now? It's great to finally have the chance to walk in and see the people, address the people here. In terms of dangerous topics and why I took up the challenge of trying to address them, so the first book, Judaism Reclaimed, was really born from just that. As in, I've been in Medrash Shmuel for quite a number of years, part-time, full-time. And I had many friends who I was in yeshiva with, and staying in contact with them as they after they left yeshiva, went to university, went to work, I found a number of them coming back to me with questions, things which were hashkafic questions, Torah morality, how Torah Shebaal Peh works, fundamental questions which they found they didn't really receive an answer to while they were in yeshiva. And I've always been a big reader of sort of Rav Hirsch and the Rambam, who really deal with these questions. And I started putting together a weekly email for this group of people to try and show how many of the questions, many of the issues that were bothering them actually are dealt with in our Masorah. The difficulty is when you have someone like the Rambam, you have someone like Rav Hirsch, the way they frame their answers, they're very much pointed towards their generation. Rav Hirsch was fighting the reformists 100, 150 years ago. Rambam was fighting the Karaites and others even further back. So you have to be able to extract and repackage some of the messages, but essentially many of the challenges, many of the responses remain the same. So after a while of that, it turned into a book, Judaism Reclaimed. And a few years later, then we got to the second book, which is what we're going to discuss today. That is more focused on Talmud, the system of Halacha, the system of Gemara. And it's kind of an offshoot of the first book, but it's also a little bit of a separate discussion also. And I was doing a law degree from London while I was in yeshiva. And many of the questions which occurred to me from putting these two systems of law together, I looked around and found, well, where is it discussed? What's binding authority? How can law change? What's the reason for law? What's the philosophy behind the law? And I looked around and I found there were very few places that gave me satisfactory answers. So to start off with, if I was going to throw out the question to you, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, is it Mesinai? So your answer, it's not a trick question, I'm not that dangerous. The answer is yes, of course. But one of the 13 principles of faith, or 13 Ikrei Emunah, is that not just the written text, the Torah, comes Mesinai, comes from Moshe, but also the Perush, the Torah Shebaal Peh, which was taught along with it. However, if I were to pick up this Gemara over here and hold it up to you and say, well, was every word written in the Gemara here passed down word to word to Moshe and then on to the people through the generations? You'd say, presumably it's less clear, probably not. Well, where then do I draw the line? How do I know which parts of the Gemara were transmitted all the way through the generations as part of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and which parts were developed and generated by the Chachamim through the Sanhedrin through the generations? It's hard to know. It's hard to find an answer to these questions. What happens if I pose a different question? We had until recently lots of talk of unity and Achdus and everything like that. It's fallen a bit flat recently. But let's say during this time of Achdus, although the Gedolei Yisrael came together and they said, you know what, we have decided who, we have agreed upon the 70 greatest Chachamim in our generation. They're going to say exactly where, somewhere nearby probably. We're going to set up a new Sanhedrin. The question is, what can the Sanhedrin do? So certainly, Dinei Drabonon, we know, Gezeiras, Takanas, they can do that. But the Sanhedrin can also be involved in Dinei Daraisa. They can create Droshas. They can revisit Droshas, as we're going to see. But there are certain things which are presumably off-limit. So how do we know what is off-limit and what the Sanhedrin can go and revisit and change? We find in a number of Mishnayos and Tosefta's that something was paskened one way, in the Chachomim Rishonim paskened one way, Achabar Rebbe Akiva, and he darshened a different drasha, and then the halacha changed. So what things could Rebbe Akiva come along and say, yeah, this is something which I look at with my the Das Torah, and I can see that the drasha should be a bit different. And what things would Rebbe Akiva say? No, I can't change that. That's it. It's a similar question, which to me, studying law while I was in yeshiva was a fundamental question which bothered me. How does the system work? Halacha is a system of law. It's a lot more than that as well, but it's a system of law. So where are the guidelines which define the law and tell us how it works? So I looked around, I didn't find very much at the beginning, so I thought maybe these aren't good questions. And then I noticed the Rambam's Hakdama to the Mishnah. So Rambam answers these questions right at the start of his Hakdama to the Mishnah, which means that he considered that these are such fundamental questions that you have to have clarified them and understood them, not just before you open a Gemara, but even before you open a Mishnah. And what does he say? So he starts off the Hakdama by saying that every mitzvah that was taught by Hashem to Moshe was taught by Perusha. It wasn't just the words that we have in the written text of the Torah, but it was some sort of accompanying Perush as well, so that we'd know what it means. So I'll pick up here. I don't know how many of you have source sheets. I'll read it through. I apologize, I couldn't print out enough. He says, Kol ma shekibel mimoyshe, hu, oyechad min hazakenim, ein adaber olav, v'lo nofla boi machloikus. So there's two categories of Dinei Doraisa law. There's the category that was heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. Anything that was heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the shittah of the Rambam, there could be no dispute about, there could be no debate about, and there would never be any machloikus. This, everything that was heard from Moshe was passed through the Balei Mesorah each generation. But Moshe Loi Shama Boy Perush Mipian Navi Alav HaShalom, what was not heard directly in Mefurash from Moshe Rabbeinu, there's an important term here, Min Ha'anyanim Hamistargim Mehem, which I think means from the methods which branch off. So if we think of each halacha, each mitzvah, as some kind of a trunk of a tree, so you get the sensual aspect of the mitzvah, which you need to know in order to, for the basic function of the mitzvah to be understood, that's the central trunk of the mitzvah. That was heard from Moshe. That could never change. But they're inyonim hamistargim. They're the twigs and the leaves and things which branch off. So if we think of it, say, the mitzvah of sukkah, so if Hashem's told, Moshe tells the people, you've got to dwell in a sukkah for 7 days, so you've got to know the basic definition of a sukkah in order for that mitzvah to make any sense. But some of the finer details, exactly what things you can use for sukkah, makabal tumah, not makabal tumah, whether under what circumstances you're potter, under mitzvah, things like that. These are the inyonim hamistargim. Under those things, there could be discussion, there could be debate, as we're going to see. So these inyonim hamistargim, according to the Rambam, were left undefined. They were not taught directly by Hashem to Moshe. And these things, hoitzi dinim bisvaros, the Chachomim via the Sanhedrin, created laws, dinei daraisa, with svara, which is svara satalmas, not with our own svara. And b'midas hashloish esrei hamasunos al har Sinai shaton and dreshes b'hem. And they used also this system of the Yud Gimel Midos, which was the system was given over by Moshe to the people. So they had the system how to create these details of halacha, and they had the system of svara, and they used those to generate and to legislate and to develop the finer details of Torah law. Of Oysam Hadinim Shaitziim, these finer details, Yesh Dvarim Shalonov Lamachloikas, and we'll skip a bit, and the other things, V'yesh Mehem Mashen Noflov Lamachloikas Ben Shtei Deis. So that is, according to the Rambam, where Machloikas comes about. Not in things that were taught to Moshe, those things can never be debated, never be disputed, the Balei Mesorah passed them through the generations. But things which were not defined at the beginning, they were deliberately, it seems, left open and not defined and not given over in the Midbar by Moshe to the people. Those things which the Chachamim by the Sanhedrin are supposed to define and debate and legislate and vote upon in the Sanhedrin to how to legislate through Svara, through Midos, those things you can have a matter of Machloikas. And the question comes up, I've heard this a number of times, why was the system created like this? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, again, one of the Ikrei Emunah, Moshe Rabbeinu had the purest form of Nevuah of any other Novi. He understood the Ratzon Hashem more than any other Novi would. And he there had his divine hotline to Hashem, and Hashem could have told him, he could have given him a full, Shulchan Aruch, whatever you want to call it, an absolute detail of every single halacha that would ever be needed, and fix it at the time. Why did Hashem create this system which would necessitate this argument and dispute and us to sit there over every sugya and work out and backwards and forwards? I mean, and have we got the right answer? Have we not got the right answer? Do we even know if there is a right answer? Why was such a system, which seems such an imperfect system, set up? And then there are a couple of answers. The first, I heard from Rav Yitzchok Breitowitz of Arasamei Achid. He said he gave a beautiful moshul. He talked of a father who has to make a birthday party for his daughter. 5, 6-year-old daughter. As we say in Israel, in Yom Haledet B'li Uga, every birthday party has to have a cake. So what's he going to do for his daughter's cake? So he's got two options. Option one, he can go to the bakery, he can find his beautifully iced cake, some cartoon character or whatever it is, and he can bring it back home, present it to her, she'll be happy, beautiful, you've got a party. There's something better he can do. He can sit down with her at the table, say, what do you want in your cake? What should it look like? Let's go to the shop, let's book the store, let's get some ingredients. And they can sit together, they can spend a couple of hours baking a cake together. And it won't be as beautiful as the one that they've got in the bakery. But what will he have gained from it? He'll have built a relationship with her, he'll have spent time doing something together with her. And that, says Rav Breitowitz, is part of the function of the Torah Shebaal Peh. By learning, by going painstakingly over each sugya, each drosha, should we be medame dover ledover that way, mutter, or that way, osa, and going back and forth, that involvement in the Torah Shebaal Peh is creating a relationship with Hashem. We relate to Hashem by being involved in these svaras, the svaras HaTorah, and the droshas which have been given to us. And that's a very important yisod in its own right. So that's one reason why the Torah is given over in this way, to facilitate our intellectual, our spiritual relationship with Hashem through the process of learning Gemara. There's another one, which if we look, there are a couple of sources here. The first one here, the Meshech Chochma in B'chukosai, it's a fascinating, fascinating piece of Meshech Chochma for many reasons. It's on the parasha of the Tochacha, the Great Rebuke, and it's talking about the consequences of Golos. When we talk about the punishment of going into Golos as a result of our Averas, there are different aspects to it. Some of them are very apparent. There's the toll of human suffering, the pogroms and everything, the persecution that went on. There's the fact that we were kicked out of our lands. We had to live among the goyim. We weren't able to have a base of mikdosh. But there's another aspect which emerges in this Meshech Chochma, which people don't even think of, and that is a loss of control over the Torah. We don't have a Sanhedrin. And what is the implication of that? Well, the Meshech Chochma is talking about how the youth of his day, which I think is 1920s Germany, were finding it hard to connect to the Torah. They're finding it hard to feel the relevance of the Torah to their lives. And he says, Haloi, im hayo be'eretz Yisrael milifnim. Had we been back in the land of Israel in the good old days, Haloi hayo lahem lizgader betukana umma, kol echad lefi doiroi. We'd have been able to lizgader, that means to create certain gedorim, certain corrections or improvements to the way the Torah applies to us. Based in our gadol, based in Hakoiden. Even a Sanhedrin, even what a Sanhedrin has ruled upon, could be Mevatel by a future based in. Even what they have darshan, this is the Din Doraisa, which is one of these details we're discussing, which has been darshan through the Yigimul Midos, are based in Kotno Yochal Laharis Ophan Yosha Beinayim. So we see that very powerful here. The Meshech Chochma is telling us that one of the reasons why the people in Golos found it so hard to connect to the message of the Torah is that they didn't have a Sanhedrin to legislate and through droshas and through tachonos to make the details correct for them. This can be said over by the Meshech Chochma. Also, from a more Kabbalistic perspective, there's a sefer called the Degel Machaneh Ephraim. I think it's one of the earlier Hasidish rabbis. And towards the beginning of his sefer, Perashon Bereishis, he talks about how every generation has its unique Shoresh HaNeshama, and part of the job of a Sanhedrin is to be attuned to that, to recognize the spiritual needs of the generation, and to darshan the Torah in accordance with that. So it's from a Kabbalistic perspective also. And then we've got from the Yad Malachi here, which is a fabulous book of Klalim. It's the Klalim of the Gemara, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Goyim, everything. And here under Droshas, he tells us, again, very firmly, V'oid, v'midois v'shar limudim shahatorin edreshes. As a matter of the how the Yud Gimel Midos work, nischad shu dinim lefi tzorech hazmanim b'meshach hadoros. New dinim, new details of halacha were generated and anew according to the needs of the time. V'kivnu bohem l'drosha gemurim v'nakasuvim lefi al-karim l'klonim. And when they created those droshas, so when they recognized the needs of the time, they formulated this legislation of details of Torah law according to droshas of the Torah. So the question is always, well, how do you balance the two? Because we know You've got Midrash HaHalacha that is set, as we know that the Tanoim were arguing very much in the matter of Sforo, do you Medamedavadavad this way or that way, what's the best drosha to make, but they're also taking into account the needs of the generation. And it seems to be the two are going on at the same time. Exactly how it went on, we don't always know, because the Tanoim don't always talk out their methodology explicitly. But there's one Mishnah right at the end of the first Perek of Croesus, where you do get a little bit of an insight, at least according to most Rishonim, as to how this process went on. The Mishnah involves a case of the korbanos that a woman would have to bring, a mechusa kippurim, once she has either had a child or a miscarriage. So before she can enter the Beis HaMikdash, before she can eat kodshim, she has to bring a set of korbanos, two doves, one chatos and one oila. And what very often happened is that people wouldn't necessarily be oila regel from faraway places every single chag. Let's say every 5 years, every 6 years, every 7 years, something we see nowadays, people would come along and bring the family just to come back and visit Yerushalayim. And the question that came up is a woman who's coming to Yerushalayim for the Yom Tov, and she wants to eat the korban. In the intervening years, since she's last been in Yerushalayim, she may have had several children, several miscarriages, and does she just have to bring one set of korbanos to cover all of these different chiyuvim, or does she have to bring a separate set of ofos, seven set of korbanos for each chiyuv? And there's a machlokes tanoim is brought in the Braisa and the Gemara. I think Rabbi Akiva is medamet to tuma and tarak, it's mechusa kipporim. He says in the same way as you can come into contact with something tomei several times, different things which are tomei, you just go to the mikveh once and you're tahar. So too, when it comes to mechusa kipporim, you can just bring one set of korbanos and you're tahar. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, it's more comparable to chiyuvim korbanos. In the same way as if you do multiple different aveiros, you can have multiple different chiyuvim korbanos. So too here, mechusa kippurim, this woman has to bring multiple different korbanos. And then Sanhedrin argued about it, and they paskened according to Lechumra, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. What happens? What happens when there's everyone's gathered there on Yom Tov, and there's suddenly a big surge in demand for korbanos? The price went right up. All the traders heard that the Sanhedrin had paskened, that all these women have to bring lots of korbanos, and they put the prices up. Rav Shimon Gamliel, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, he went out and he saw what was happening, and he took a shavua and he said, we've got to do something about this. He went back, they reconvened the Sanhedrin, and they paskened the kula Rabbi Akiva. So again, all the psakim that are going on are all psakim which have been reached by Tanoim. They're not suddenly made up on the spot, here we have to do this, we're going to change the halacha. It's a machlokes tanoim between two shittas of tanoim who are creating legitimate droshas, but entering into the psak and how they balance the two is this idea of being sensitive to the needs of the generation. So we see that both aspects were going on here within the process of halacha. So what we really have here, just to summarize, is a two-tier system of Torah Shebaal Peh. You've got the parts which are the Within every mitzvah, you have the central trunk of the mitzvah, which we know has come all the way from Moshe. It can never be debated, it can never be disputed. And then we have the finer details, which were left undefined. They are created by a Sanhedrin with an eye to the needs of the generation, but not exclusively. And they can be changed by a future Sanhedrin. The Rambam talks about Hilchas Mamrim, how in certain cases, so I think the way he understands it, certain Dinei Drabbanon, you need to have a basin which is Godol B'chochem of a minion. When it comes to it's actually interesting why this is, but when it comes to a matter of Droshas and a detail of Dinei Doraisa, he did just hear the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, Basin HaGodol Shedorshu B'achas Min HaMidos, Kifi Mashanira B'Einayim. The Sanhedrin Darshans with the Midos, they created Torah law, Shadin Kach V'Donu Din, they formalize their vote on it, they set the din. V'amad achareim, based in acher. And then the next generation, new Sanhedrin sits, v'nira lo tam acher l'storoso. They perceive that the drosha should be different, the locha should be different. Harezez soiser. They can, I think maybe even they must, because ein adayin el masher enem rois. So the Sanhedrin could be soiser, they change it, v'don, kifi masher nira ba'enov. So it's absolutely crucial when you're learning Mishnah, when you're learning Gemara, to have an awareness of which aspects of each halacha are part of this fixed Messiah which has come through, and which aspects are created by the droshas. And we see, when we're sensitive to this, we see even the Tanoim talk this out. I didn't actually print this. There's a Mishnah Yevamos, Perek Shmini, on the halacha of Moavi v'lo Moavis, Amoni v'lo Amonis. There's the Amon and Moav are surin l'kahal. Even once they have converted, the men certainly of Amon and Moav cannot marry in to Kahal Yisrael. The question was debated among the Tanoim, and perhaps even earlier, is does this apply also to the women? A lot of sugyas about it, but in the Mishnah Yevamos, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai presents a Kal V'Chomer to the Chachomim. He brings a Kal V'Chomer to say that the Moavis should be Muteras. It should only be Moavi and not Moavis. The Chachomim turn around and say to him, Im Halacha Nekabel. If what you're presenting is really a halacha which has come through the generations, it's a transmitted Masorah from Moshe, of course, Nekabel. We can't argue with that. In the din, if what you are presenting to us is your own svara, that you are making a kal v'chomer and you think this is what it should be, yesh teshuva. We have a pirucha, we don't think that your kal v'chomer is absolutely binding. And he says, loiki, halacha, and that's what the way the halacha is accepted, that it's moavi v'lo moavis. That's an example when you're aware and you're looking at the loshon of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, you can see how sensitive they are to these two different categories. What can change? And what cannot change? We're getting this one final example I'd like to look through in particular, which really shows how awareness of these principles can really open up our eyes when we're learning Gemara. That example is the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema. Popular mitzvah, we do it every day, more than once. And as far as we all know, Mitzvah Kriyas Shema is Daraisa. As far as we'd all assume, it's come through the generations. We the Midrashim at Yaakov Avinu saying it, but it's one of the most fundamental mitzvahs we do, Kabbalas Amuchus Shemaim. So those of us who are learning Maseches Brachas may get a bit of a shock. You open up to Daf Chof Aleph Amid Aleph. Omar of Yehuda, Sofek Kora Kriyas Shema, Sofek Loi Kora. You get back home late from a wedding one night, You don't remember if there's a Maariv minyan or not, you're half asleep. Did you say Kriyas Shema or not? You cannot remember. What do you do if you're in Sofek? Ein lo chayzev akora. You don't have to go back and repeat it. Why not? My timer. Kriyas Shema drabanon. How can that be? How can Kriyas Shema be drabanon? We've got the psukim we say. Shechav v'set, v'shach v'chav k'mecha, l'etchav v'derech, v'devarat abom. How can it be? How can anyone say Kriyas Shema is drabonon? And the Gemara asks this question as well. Meisiv Rav Yosef v'shach b'chav k'mecha. What are you saying, Rav Yehuda? How can it be midrabonon? There are psukim. You've got to say these words when you lie down and when you rise up again. Amalei Abaya, no. What did Rav Yehuda mean? He's hahu b'devei Torah kasev. Those words, that pasuk of v'shach b'chav k'mecha, is talking generally about reciting words of Torah, but not the specific mitzvah of Kriyas Shema. So how do we now go and look at this passage, unpack this passage in light of the principles that we have looked at so far, in light of the Hakdoma of the Rambam to Pirush Mishnayos? So he's told us already that anything about which there could be, that there is a machloikas, that is a sign that it was not part of the original teaching that Moshe taught over in the Midbar. So it would seem from here, would conclude that the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema was not taught, if it could be a machloikas, if it's Daraisa Drabonon, that means that it was not part of this immutable Messiah which came down through the generations. Mitzvah of Kriyas Shema, pretty shocking. However, there does seem to be something which isn't disputed, which everyone seems to agree, that at the very least, this psukim are telling you there's a mitzvah zasei of Ahuba Divrei Torah Kasiv. There's a mitzvah zasei of Vashach Mocha of Kamacha, to recite some words of Torah every evening and every morning. So how do we put this together? How do we approach this whole, I guess we'll start off with the Pesukim of the Torah. If we look at it in terms of basic pshat, let's become the Ebenezer and the Rashbam for a minute. Basic pshat, we're reading the Pesukim of Haftas, Shemekeh B'chol Avavachah, Devarat Abom, Shittach B'Sech, V'Lech V'Lech, V'Shach B'Av K'mecha. What are these psukim telling us? Basic pshat. Without any reference to the halacha at this stage, seems to be telling us be involved with Torah. Any time you have a spare moment, be involved, whether you're walking the streets, or whether you're sitting in your house, any time, you're never free from this obligation to be involved in the words of Torah. You should constantly be involved in it. But there doesn't seem to be any specific instruction. There's no mitzvah, as I say, of lechtecha baderech, to spend 5 minutes each day walking around the streets reciting words of Torah. However, what we've seen is undisputed. Everyone accepts in the Gemara that there is some kind of mitzvah asay here. So if there's something which everyone accepts, that is pretty likely that there's some kind of mitzvah asay which has come through from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Har Sinai. So we have a mitzvah asay of b'shachachav kamecha, specifically on these two words. That seems to be agreed by everyone. That's come from Moshe. However, the content, narrowing it down to a mitzvah of kriyas shema, the way we have it, shema Yisrael, those specific words, would seem to be something which the Sanhedrin would have developed, the Chachamim by the Sanhedrin would have developed at a certain point in Jewish history. And when I started going through this and developing these ideas, I felt it was a bit radical, a bit dangerous, wasn't quite sure about it. So I looked up the Mefarshim. Both the Shagas Aryeh and the Pnei Yeshua say something pretty similar. I'll quote the Pnei Yeshua here. He in turn is quoting the Rabbeinu Yonah, which I couldn't find, but I'll take the Pnei Yeshua's word for it. It seems it's possible that the Kavanah here is what Rabbeinu Yonah taught. It would have seemed to him that the Pasuk in the Torah says Shachbav Kamecha, love the Torah that Christ Davka Parashazu Shachris Ba'arvis. It's not that the Torah is telling us this specific parasha has to be read every morning and every evening. Even if a different parasha was read morning and evening, that would be enough to fulfill the mitzvah of the Shachbah of Kamecha. Ela, Shechachomim tiknu likrois davka parasha salalu. At some stage, Shechachomim came along and were metakein specifically these parashas. Mishum deis ba'em nami malchus shamayim. They recognize, again, as we said, they recognize the needs of the generation. Chachamim looked around at some stage. I think it's during Bayis Sheni. I'll explain why in a minute. Some point in Bayis Sheni, they looked around and said, there's a real weakening, a slackening off in our Kabbalah, our Malchus Shemayim, whether it's the Hellenists or the Christians or the Sadducees, whatever's going on. We need to be mechazek the tzibur in Kabbalah, our Malchus Shemayim. So this mitzvah of Shachbav Kamecha, we are going to fix it to be specifically Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And as you see in the Haggadah, there's a third paragraph added later. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that when Ben Zonah brought along the Joshua, everyone agreed to him. Only at that stage, it seems, they added a third paragraph, a side point. But again, we have this. If we're looking at how this mitzvah works, the trunk of the mitzvah, the Shachar of Kamecha, the Torah seems wanted to have everyone's day bookended with Torah. Every day, even if you have a day where you have to spend doing other things, at the very least, you have to have started and finished your day with Torah. That influences then everything that goes on in the middle. Chachamim come along at some point and say, we are going to add to this. We see the needs of the generation, and we are going to be metakein. And the question of the Gemara is, were they metakein that as a din drabonon or as a din daraisa? Using their power al pi haTorah shi'ar rucha to actually to actually legislate the din daraisa. And, how do I know? I said that it probably happened sometime at Bayis Sheni. Well, when you are aware, when you look at the Gemara in this way, when you're aware of these principles, suddenly many other things light up as well. For example, we don't just have a mitzvah of Kriyas Shema. What we also have from Chazal is something called the brachas of Kriyas Shema. We say brachas before and after Kriyas Shema. Well, what is a normal form of a brachas mitzvah? Normally, the bracha on a mitzvah has something to do with the mitzvah. It makes sense, and it's also the way we see it done. However, if you look at the brachas of Kriyas Shema, we don't find anything to do with Ol Malchus Shemayim. Al Kein Hashem Al Keinu B'Shachveinu of Kameinu. Actually, paraphrasing the words Shachbah of Kamecha. What does it mean? Nosiach B'Chakecha V'Nismach B'Divrei Sarasecha. It's all about Talmud Torah. To the extent that in Halacha, it's definitely according to everyone, you have to work out exactly when it applies, but there are certainly circumstances when, if you forget to say Berachos HaTorah in the morning, and then in the prayer you daven Shachris and you say the Brachos of Kriyas Shema, you've been yotzer to some extent the Brachos of Berachos HaTorah. You don't always need to repeat them. Again, look up exactly when it applies, when it doesn't, then Rachos Rishonim over it. But we see the idea that the brachos over Kriyas Shema to some extent represent the brachos of Torah. We know that the bracha, I'm pretty sure we know that the brachos over Kriyas Shema were created by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They formulated most of the siddur that we have. And they were right at the start of Bayis Sheni, maybe even earlier. So it would seem that at that time, it was a mitzvah of B'shoch B'hov Kamecha. And therefore they formulated the bracha B'shoch B'hov Kamenu based around the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. A later generation, the Sanhedrin looked around and said, we are going to now fix it around Kabbalah's Al-Machos Shamayim. But they didn't want to, or perhaps they couldn't, because they weren't greater than Chochmah Minyan. They didn't want to change the formulation of the brachas of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So now we have this strange situation where we're saying a bracha over Talmud Torah and we are reciting Kriya Shema. But it really is not so strange, because when Sanhedrin said we're now going to do a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, they weren't replacing the original mitzvah of a shokhba of Kamech, of reciting Torah, because you can't replace something which has come down from Moshe. They were narrowing it down, they were adding a detail. So we are both fulfilling a mitzvah of Talmud Torah by doing Kriya Shema, and we are doing the additional mitzvah of this Kabbalah Al-Machos Shamayim. And we actually see this in the Menachos and Daf Tzadi Tes. Omer of Shimon, Mishum Rishim Bayachai, Afinu loy Korah Odom el Kriyas Shema, Shachas Aris, Kiyim lo Yomosh. The basic, we shouldn't tell any Amorites this, so there's no Amorites here, but the idea is there, that Kriyas Shema represents the very basic Chiyuvim of Talmud Torah. And it's something which we see, which we are aware of. And so then going back to the other question we started with, well, if we have a Sanhedrin here, as Hashem, the Meher of Yemenu, have a Sanhedrin here, and they are sitting down and they have this mitzvah of Kriyas Shema coming in front of them, what can they do? Well, they definitely cannot change the Shachar of Kamecha part. They can never say, we're going to narrow it down to once a day. We think there's enough Talmud Torah going on, we don't need so much, we're going to narrow it down to once a day or once a week. They definitely can't do that, because that's a Masorah that's come all the way down from Moshe Rabbeinu. What they can do, and we haven't actually seen discussion in the Gemara about this as well, they can add more parshas to it. They can probably also change the parshas of the Torah. I think there's a discussion whether that's Seres HaDibro is, parshas Bilam, according to one Shitta, should be added to the mitzvah. When you have, again, only when you have a properly formulated Sanhedrin, but a Sanhedrin would have the power, because this is a detail of the mitzvah. This is the second category of Torah Shabbal Peh, Dinei Daraisa, detail of a mitzvah, which is not heard directly from Moshe, and therefore it's the sort of detail that the Sanhedrin would have the power to, the authority to amend and change. Maybe I'll stop here if anyone's got any questions. Yeah?
The I think it was Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara said, he was saying that if there's a suffix that you don't need to repeat Kriya Shema.
That's Rav Yehuda, right? He says it's Drabbanon. He starts off by teaching a halacha. Sofek kara Kriya Shema, sofek loy kara. You don't have to go back and say it again. And the reason he gives, or the Gemara gives, is Kriya Shema Drabbanon. And that's how the whole discussion begins.
But according to him, there would still be a mitzvah the rights of Shachar of
Kamecha. Right, that's right. So the difference between these two shittas, even according to what I'm saying, so we're saying the original mitzvah, according to everyone, was Shachar of Kamecha. So when the Sanhedrin came along and legislated Kriya Shema, if they did it on a drabbanon level, then you're right. By reciting any parsha in the Torah, you'd be yotzi your mitzvah d'oraisa, and there'd be an additional mitzvah drabbanon, say specifically Kriya Shema. Whereas if you held that the Sanhedrin came along on a d'oraisa level, which is I think the way we pass in halacha, on a d'oraisa level they said Kriya Shema d'oraisa, that means that they are saying the only way you can fulfill this mitzvah now is through the passage of Kriya Shema. You read another parasha, you're not yotzi. That it's nothing minimum between the two.
So yes, maybe what would be just talking about Shema, like the circle of Shema, but theoretically, if we was asked if somebody has a subject they did Shachar of Kamecha, so then you would be Matir.
Right. Yes. Very good. It's another nothing minimum there. Yes.
Okay. If the Sanhedrin made the Xerah specifically for that generation, so then shouldn't they ever have like the time limit?
So that gets into a whole new discussion of Batla Tama, Batla Takanoso. When do we say that a Takana, which is made by Sanhedrin, is bound by the reason which either they stated or we think we understand? And there's a huge amount of Rishonim Achronim which go into this. It's a big topic. Okay.
Could it be that they limited the mitzvah, meaning like Shema, before you got the three paragraphs, I would have to be, whenever I'm running around, I'm saying Shema. Now that I said the three paragraphs, I'm Yotza after I said my three paragraphs.
Meaning what, the initial mitzvah would have been all day?
Well, not all day, but it could have been longer. They could have limited it, meaning they made it smaller also. Is that possible?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. The question is, what would be the minimum and maximum shiur before we get Kriya Shema?
Now I have three paragraphs or two, whatever, I'm free, so to speak, from the mitzvah.
So something in the morning, something in the evening, but it's not, I don't know. I would assume logically it would be one whole parasha of something, but again, I don't know. That's just what I assume. I don't see anything to tell me exactly what the minimum and maximum would be.
How do we separate the idea like the Sheish Mitzvahs to Midios that seem to be very connected to the... Like the Kriya Shema, a lot of the ideas are, right, the Sheish Mitzvahs to Midios.
So that could be that could be part of the rationale why Chazal and Sanhedrin came along and fixed the Kriya Shema to be what it was. The Shach Bal Kamecha to be Kriya Shema, because they could have seen that maybe... Before that, people were pretty good anyway on the mitzvahs to Midios. They saw some kind of weakening off, and they thought, we've got to do something to mechazek people. That's a good suggestion as to why they did it. But, it could be presumed before that they didn't feel the need to...
Also, how we define the Kabbalah's Om HaChamayim, like in terms of... What is this idea of Kabbalah's Om HaChamayim? In a way, like, if we're accepting that there's a God, or that Hashem made the world, or that Hashem gave the Torah... Like, that is part of the brachas, or any bracha that we're saying. Like, what would a bracha be?
I mean, every bracha, but there's nothing specific about the bracha of Kriya Shema, which talks about the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Om Malchus Shemayim, or the Shema. It's a bracha which needs to be focused on Talmud Torah. I mean, every bracha is only it's talking about how we be commanded by Hashem, and we're only commanded by Hashem if it's a Om Malchus Shemayim. So it's a background, so to speak, at least in every bracha, but it's not the main subject of the bracha, that's the point I'm making.
There's three, if I'm not mistaken, there's three brachas for Krishna.
Right, so I'm talking about only the last one,
Erez
right?
Erez B'Yatziv is not so much about Torah. Really, that's Ava Rabbah. I don't think anyone says you could be Yosef because of Torah with Erez B'Yatziv.
So it's specifically the Ava Rabbah.
And the other two brachas are not related to Torah.
Right, so the question is how and why that was...
If you're on learning Torah, then it's still disconnected.
So you're saying what is the connection between the other two brachas...
I'm saying it doesn't look like from the Gemara that it's a Torah, that the mitzvah is Torah, because the Gemara spoke out the bracha that's not about Torah.
I mean, the Gemara doesn't bring in the bracha, that was my addition. As I was saying, once you stop and look at the sukkah, the brachas make a lot more sense, because it's actually paraphrasing the words of the sukkah. So that's a separate. On that point, so the question is why Emes V'Yatziv is considered Doraisa. I'm not exactly sure. I left that out because people suggest it's to do with Geula and Tefillah. Is Tefillah Doraisa? It gets itself into a whole other sugya, which I didn't want to. I didn't want to get into because it's not the main. It's a big topic there. Thank you all very, very much. I've got some Sepharim available here if people want to pick some up. I have a special, I sell them in yeshivas at cost price. I don't make a profit on them, so if anyone wants to pick them up there. No obligation at all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Are we staying for medical?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.